For the first time, actually, in my own preaching history, I got to bring my phone up with me, but I need it later, but I'm going to put it back here. If it starts interfering with the microphone or anything, then I'll throw it, but just that's why it's up here, and I promise it will come in handy here in a little while. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the peace that you bring us today through your word. Thank you for the ways that you work in our lives through the story of Jesus and through the living Jesus who dwells with us today. We thank you for your promises, and we thank you for the peace of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Hear the word of the Lord from Luke 24. 36 through 49. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When I was a kid, I was afraid of ghosts. Not a kid, not a little kid, more like around 10, 11, 12. Especially since I probably started reading Stephen King novels a little too soon. I read The Shining, Carrie, and Salem's Lot, I think when I was 10. And at that time, I lived in an old house in Rungi, Texas, in an old big bedroom where the floors creaked, and there was no air conditioning, so we had to sleep with the windows open. And sleeping with the windows open in Rungi, Texas, in an old creaky house surrounded by pecan trees that swayed in the wind and the moon came through your window just right, I was afraid of ghosts. And again, Stephen King didn't help. But until recent times, ghosts were considered just another part of life. They were actually kind of just taken for granted. Scientific reason wasn't really a part of the whole history of ghosts. People just thought they were a part of life. They were really only menacing in children's stories in the Middle Ages. Because if you go back and study children's literature of the Middle Ages, you know why they used to tell children ghost stories during the Middle Ages in Europe? It's to keep them from leaving the village. It's the only way. They didn't have fences. They had ghost stories. And that kept the kids from wandering out from the village into the woods where they may be harmed. And think of Hamlet's father's ghost. The sentries, while they were startled, never crossed their minds to look at Hamlet's father's ghost in the story and say, "There's no such thing as ghosts. It was just a part of life." Yeah, again, they were startled, but it just That was part of everyday life. And you might be surprised how many times ghosts or spirits show up in Scripture. Or at least what they otherwise think are ghosts. I think that's why Jesus, after the resurrection, when He appears to His people, He begins His conversation with His people with the Greek equivalent of, "Now everybody be cool." But you know what it's like whenever you tell people to be calm. Usually doesn't result in people being calm. And so I think that is why Jesus tells them, "Peace be with you," because that was the farthest thing from encountering someone who they thought was dead and now has come back to have a conversation with His people. What are you going to assume if you saw, you know, them take the body away, dead, and now suddenly you are in a room and He's back? You know, this is a Stephen King story. We've heard it so many times that we're not startled by this story anymore. But put yourself in their shoes, and suddenly Jesus, standing in the midst of people, is kind of terrifying. That's precisely why the text says they were terrified, because the situation was terrifying. And so, again, that's why Jesus tells them, "Peace be with you." We still kind of live in a world of ghosts. Now, I don't know if it's Sixth Sense, Casper, Patrick Swayze, Charles Dickens, Beetlejuice, ghosts. But I do know that sometimes whether memories that we would like to forget are people long gone who still have the ability to egg us on, or bad dreams, or whatever. One thing we need to hear today is Jesus' blessing that goes, "Peace be with you." The scientific reasoning mind in me says, there's no such thing as ghosts, but, you know, maybe they take on a bunch of different forms. We tend to be haunted by things in the past, things in the present, things we're worried about. And so hear Jesus, if you can, and I'll confess as a fellow sojourner, I'm still trying, but hear, if you can, the voice of Jesus this morning, this moment, saying, "Peace be with you." It's during this in-between time on the Christian calendar, right between Easter and Pentecost. This is actually the most difficult season to kind of preach and keep the momentum going, because we get to Easter and everybody is excited and you build up, and then there's these weeks after, and the Christian calendar keeps saying, "Oh, it's still Easter." But, I mean, the stores don't sell Easter stuff anymore. They've moved on to the summer clothing line and everything else. You're not buying Easter dresses. So it's hard to keep this going. But it's this season between Easter and Pentecost that the original followers had to solidify their own faith around the living Jesus. Times haven't changed that much, because we still do the same thing, because we still try to put our faith in the living Jesus. You don't have to. That's why it's called faith. But I promise you today, one thing makes it easier. It's the echo of the first time that Jesus ever said, "Peace be with you." On the days when you wonder whether God actually cares about the suffering that you see all over the world, hear the voice of Jesus say, "Peace be with you." When you're alone with your own thoughts, and you think to yourself, even about your own life, does God really care? Hear the voice of Jesus say, "Peace be with you."
During those times when you feel overwhelmed by worry, anxiety, and uncertainty, hear the voice of Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Because the promise from Jesus is real, available to us today for those with ears to hear. A few Sundays ago, I began our worship service during the call to worship time. You might remember with the lines from the old hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." And that was really after having thought about it for a few days. I don't know why I was thinking about it. Actually, now I do think I know why I was thinking about this song. Samira was preparing the prayer for the table days before our worship service. And she told me that she was reading Ephesians and Colossians while spending time in prayer. And that while she was spending time in the Word of God and spending time in prayer, she had a song going through her head. And I'll give you one Sunday morning church guess as to which song that was. She was going over in her mind the song, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives," stuck in her head for days. When she told me about this, after our worship service was finished, we both just kind of were in awe for a little while of the way that God's Holy Spirit put something so simple on the hearts of two people working on the same thing. And could it have been a coincidence? All right, now, just to lay everything on the table, most of the time, the skeptic in me would say that that remains a possibility. Coincidence. Most of the time. But not in this case. I actually believe it was the work of God. A God who, for whatever reason, puts things onto our doubting hearts. Things like, "I know that my Redeemer lives." So I'm thinking about all this over the last few days, getting ready for this moment. And so this morning, I'm shaving, and a text comes over my phone. And it was an encouragement text. You know, just a little passage of Scripture, just a little quote, just something for my Sunday morning, getting ready for us all to be together. And I knew that over these last couple of weeks, getting ready for this moment, that the refrain of the sermon was going to be Jesus' encouragement, "Peace be with you." You know, 2016, we have peace as our virtue that we're cultivating together. But today especially is hearing that echo of Jesus' saying, "Peace be with you." Now, the text that came on my trusty Smithsonian flip phone. Y'all don't make fun of my phone. I know I'm the only person that still has one of these. But they're durable. I tell you what, if you got to throw these in a saddlebag of a motorcycle, I actually ran over this with my bike one time. Anyway, don't make fun of my phone. Okay, so I get this text on my phone this morning. And you know how people say, because it says in Scripture that the Word of God is living and active? Yeah, I don't mind telling you that, like many of you probably, I have days, even moments, sometimes of doubt. I think most of us do if you've been a Christian for more than, you know, on average 5 to 10 minutes. You're going to have some doubts. It's natural. It's okay. But it's little moments like this, just a simple text, that brings me back, and I think has the potential to bring all of us back into, oh yeah, not only am I a person of faith, but God is at work in ways that go well beyond what I can ask or imagine. And so it's just this simple little encouragement text at 7:26 a.m. on a Sunday morning, when it just so happened that we were going to hear the refrain of Jesus say over and over again, "Peace be with you." Text simply read, "Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for He will speak peace to His people." That's it. Just one little sentence with an ellipses at the end that suggests there's still more to say. And it's at moments like that that you can't help but survey your entire life and say, God is at work. And I can't always say how, but I do believe that God is at work. And then we hear the echoes of Jesus' voice once again as we hear the voice of Jesus say, "Peace be with you." If you find yourself watching the news wondering how people could be so hateful to one another as to pull out a weapon and open fire on another person because of a traffic altercation, that may be when we need to come in here and hear the voice of Jesus still saying, "Peace be with you." If you're sitting in your living room, staring out the window, watching the water rise in your road and then into your yard, and you hear people saying on the news, "Well, it's just stuff," but you're like, "Yeah, but it's my stuff. This is my stuff with my memories and history and all kinds of things, and these things actually mean something." When that happens, we may still need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." If you find yourself this week around a dinner table, jostled between people with differing political opinions, where the conversation crosses the line from civil to heated, that may be when we need to hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." If you struggle with current events, I mean, just name it: race relations, unemployment, transgender bathrooms, genocide, corporate greed, earthquakes, gay marriage, war, money, debt, then please remember that while each one of those is important to consider, God is moving us towards a new creation that, while hard to imagine on some days, will include many things that we may have been taught to dismiss. After all, there was a time not long ago in the history of God's people when God's people could not imagine Gentiles being bona fide children of God. And aren't most of us in this room glad that they were wrong about that? And there was a time not long ago when people just took for granted that ghosts were real. And who knows? But I also believe that we have the ability to learn, to grow, and most importantly, no matter where you fall on the continuum of the top 100 issues of the day, the most important thing that we can say in this room is that we are together being shaped in the image and likeness of Christ. Though we may see some things through a glass darkly, we still come in here on Sunday morning and we proclaim together in faith, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And in turn, we still, to this day, hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Peace be with you." Amen. Amen.